we got to the part in Chulin where the Gemara is a jam pack. These are some of the most important Gemaras in probably in Shas on Bnei Chazaka and Rov, which are some of the hardest sugyas in Shas. So I know that Dave Hellman last week gave a chabura on Daf Tesamet Aleph. I'm going to give another chabura on actually the same exact Amud of Gemara, the same exact Gemara, just on another din that comes out of this Gemara, because again, every Gemara here is has huge ramifications for all of really Kol Torah Kula. There's Yisodos that come out of every Gemara here. So I'm going to be discussing really the same Gemara, but from a totally different aspect than he discussed. Last time I gave a chabura, I think it was actually 2 weeks ago only, I gave a chabura on, just in general, on chazaka and rov, different kinds of chazaka, different kinds of rov. I think we tried to explain, just I want to sum up very quickly what we said then, because I'll be probably using a lot of those ideas again now. Chazaka, the way we explained it, is we learn from a Gemara later in Chulin, Daf Yudam Beis. Chazaka is a din that the way that something is viewed according to the Pashtos HaDvarim, meaning basically the most simple, the first impression you get when looking at a certain object, at a certain situation, a certain whatever, it's now muchzak in that way. We assume it to be in that manner until we're proven otherwise. Meaning, just like a person has a chezkas kashrus, a person is born a fine person, has a chezkas kashrus until proven otherwise, right? The Torah actually believes innocent until proven guilty, right? You have a chezkas kashrus, and until you're completely proven not to be, we continue to view you in that manner. So too, we're going to talk about in our Gemara, a behema, an animal is, when it's alive, has a chezkas iser, meaning the animal, the Torah says that you can't eat a live animal, meaning that you can't take a bite out of a live animal, or you can't take off a limb of a live animal, cook it on a barbecue and eat it, because that's the animal has not been shechted, the animal is still alive. You can't take a limb from that animal and eat it. That's an iser eiver min achai. That's also an iser according to many Rishonim. That's an iser of eino zavuach. Anytime an animal it has not been shechted, there's an iser to meaning besides just eiver min achai, besides the iser of that even goyim have of bnei noach of eiver min achai. Right? It's morally decrepit to eat a live animal. But beyond that, many Rishonim understand that there's another iser in the Torah of inu zavuach. It's probably that there's a mitzvah to shecht an animal, and if you eat an animal without being shechted, that's also against the Torah. So again, since it's muchzuk in that manner, since an animal, you look at an animal, you see this thing's a dvar iser. This thing's usser. Prove to me that it's mutter, right? Just like a person, you're a fine Jew. Mechatesi, prove to me that you're not a fine Jew, right? So this animal's usser. Prove to me that it's not. Prove to me that it's mutter. So let's see the Gemara. The Gemara in Tesamet Aleph. So that's just the Yisod. We're going to get into the Pratim of the Gemara. I just want to give you again just the background for another second of Chazaka. Okay, so now the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says,
a
person, it's in the middle of the Amud, right under the star. There's a star that says, right under that. It says, Lo Barak Mai. So if you shecht an animal, you see where I am? It's really in the middle of the Amud Mamish. There's a little star by Nesata Devrech L'Shiurim, right in the middle. And right under that, it says, Lo Barak Mai. Yeah, you see where we are? It's right across on this.
I don't see it. This one doesn't have a star.
Okay. All right, I guess it's right. The new. Sorry. The, you know, I have the old Gemaras. What could I do?
I think.
Just go.
Okay, so it says, Lo Barak Mai. So the Gemara is talking about a case where a person shechts an animal, and there's a din. The Torah says you have to shecht. Rove the majority of the simanim of the animal. I mean, the animal has you know, the whatever they call the veshet and the veshet and the kana. You have to shecht the rove of the majority of those parts of the body. Now, low barak ma, let's say you shechted the animal, but you didn't check how much you shechted. Now, meaning when every good shochet shechts, so he makes sure to go to do the majority. But let's say this shochet, he shechted, but he didn't check to make sure that he got that he did the majority. So what's the din? Is this animal usher or mutter? So Rabbi Eliezer ben Antigonos mishum Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Yanai Amar Shreifa v'asura ba'achila. He says the animal's a shreifa, and it's asur ba'achila. B'masnisa tana nevela matam b'masa. It's a nevela. It's asur mishum nevela umatama b'masa, and it's matame tumas masa. So just a little background. There's two different Yisurim in the Torah of Achila. There's a Isser Trefa and Isser Nevela. They're both different reasons that it's Usser to eat an animal. A Trefa is something which is, let's say, we'll call it sick for now. And a Nevela is a dead animal which hasn't been shechted. Either way, both of them are saying that it's Usser to eat. But the difference is that a Trefa is not Metame, meaning, but a Nevela is Metame. Meaning that if you have an animal which you shechted properly, it just has like a certain kind of broken limb, so you're not allowed to eat the animal, but it's not matame. Meaning, so if you touch the animal, and you know, you're not tame for whatever, not forever ramifications that tuma has, right? So you're not tame. But in the vela, there is matame. So basically, when the animal's living, everyone agrees that it's usur to eat. But it's not matame. When it's living, it's pasha that it's... When an animal is alive, you can touch it all you want, you're not going to become tame. But when you shechted it without checking it, so the machlokas in the Gemara, everyone holds it's usher to eat. The question is it also matame? So let's see. B'mai kamifugli, what are they arguing about? B'drav huna. They're arguing about the svara of Rav Huna. The amar... He says an animal, again like we said, an animal, minastam, just looking at an animal, you see usur, because how do you know that it changed? It was born usur. May chesi it ever changed to be mutter. So it's behema b'ches isur meres, ad shi yavada lucha b'man nishchata. Nishchata, harehi b'cheskes heter, ad shi yavada lucha b'man nishchata. Once you shecht it, okay, now a shechted animal, mistam is mutter. Now prove to me that it's not mutter. Once you shecht an animal properly, and you know you shechted it properly, then you can assume it's mutter. Mehech teisi, it's usur. But we're working with the first thought, that it was usur. Mehech teisi, how do you know it became mutter? Okay, so now mar savar, one opinion holds, becheskas iser kaima, behashta mesehi. Okay, it was becheskas iser when it was alive, and now it's dead. So it's usur, right? And it's mesa, it's dead, it's usur, and it hasn't been shechted, so it's also metame. Meaning an animal which died without being shechted is a nevela, and a nevela is metame. The other man, the Amr, says no. It was usur, so it will stay usur. But it wasn't tame, so it stays not tame. So at first glance, this Gemara is very strange. Again, to recap, what is the Gemara saying? The Gemara is saying that again, when an animal is alive, it's what's its din? It is usur to eat, but it's not matame. So what would you think? Until you prove to me otherwise, right? We have a klal, it's like a way to put our mind. Everyone understands that there's a Gemara in Baba Kama that amotzin mechaveru olav harayo. If you want to extract money from someone, you have to prove it, right? Meaning, you want to tell me I owe you a dollar. Okay, just prove it. When did I bring me witnesses, something? When? How do I owe you a dollar? Where did I come from, right? If you want to tell me to do something, you got to prove it, right? So very similar, not exact, I'm just giving it's more of a example just to drive it home. But similar, it's not exact, but we're not getting into that sugya right now. Similarly, when something is muchzak in a certain way, this is how it always was, prove to me that I should think differently. So this thing was always usur, prove to me that it's mutter. Okay, so everyone says that it's usur, because how do you know it's mutter? He shechted it, you haven't checked the simanim, so you don't know if you shechted it properly. If you shechted only half the simanim, it would be usur. So how do you know that you shechted more than half? So it's usur. But at the same time, it always was tahor. right? It never was. There's a machlokes achronim, if it was tahor, if it wasn't tamei, whatever. Either way, it definitely wasn't tamei, right? It was never tamei. If you touch an animal from here to tomorrow, you'll never become tamei unless it happens to be a pardu. Whatever, a normal animal is not tamei. So you touch and you touch the animal, you would have been not tamei. Prove to me that now if I touch this animal, I'm going to be tamei. So that mandar makes a lot of sense. The mandar who says a treifa, but it's not matame, makes a lot of sense. It was. Right, like the Gemara says, "Becheskas isram rina, becheskas tumalom rina." Makes a lot of sense because it was usher, stays usher. It was not tame, it stays not tame. That makes total sense. What's the other man da'amr thinking? The other man da'amr says, the Gemara tries to explain it. It just doesn't. I don't know. What does it say? It says, "Sover becheskas isser kaima." It was usher, behashta mesa, and now it's dead. So what? It was becheskas that it wasn't tame. Mehichi tasi, it's tame. How does the first Tana answer that question? First of all, so just what's shot in that manda? Now I saw a number of achronim try to explain this. The Kilos Yaakov, the number of other achronim. I don't remember on the top of my head who, but I think the Kilos Yaakov. I think there's a Beis Halevi. I think there's a number of achronim who say they want to learn this Gemara with a concept called Cheskas Aguf. Cheskas Aguf, again, it's a large, large topic, so we're not going to get into every detail, obviously, of Cheskas Aguf, but basically, the way the Cheskas Aguf comes up in a Gemara in Ksubis, Daf Ayin Hei Amabez. The Gemara Daf Ayin Hei Amabez, I don't want to get into every detail of the Gemara, but basically, Cheskas Aguf is that the Gemara is talking over there, a woman who with Makabel's Kedushin, she took money to become married, and the question is, now normal, the person over there, we're assuming, only wants to marry this girl if she doesn't have blemishes all over the place, right? And he assumed that this woman, you know, didn't have blemishes on her. Now, so he marries her, he says, Ariyam Kedush, he marries her, and they, you know, pay $80,000 for that wedding, and late after the wedding, he finds out that she has moles all over her body. Oh. So now, the question is, when did those moles come about? If those moles came before the Kedushin, then there's a Cheska, then it's Mekach Tos. I wanted to marry you without any mole. You have moles over the place, so we're not married. But if the moles came after, so then they're married, and tough luck, right? Okay, so his wife has moles. So the question is, when did the moles come? Before the wedding or after the wedding? Before the Kedushin or after the Kedushin? So, again, there's a number of ways you can explain that Gemara, but the Tosfos over there, the Gemara already calls the Cheskas Aguf, but Tosfos really, I guess, drives it home. You can disagree with Tosfos, but this is what Tosfos says. Tosfos says that over there, the Cheskas Aguf wins out. The Gemara says that the Cheskas Aguf, that she's married. If not for a Cheskas Mamin, but again, everything Gemara is complicated. But basically, we say besides for Ksuba reasons, besides because there's a lot of money aspects going on in a marriage as well. I don't know. They're talking about money in the wedding. I don't know. But because of a bunch of, besides the money aspects, if not for all the money aspects, everyone would agree that she would be married. Why? Because we'll say that there was a Kedushin, and the Mumin happened right now, meaning we knew she was always a totally clean girl. She was born a girl without Mumin. We knew she would, we have pictures when she was in the bath as a baby. We know she didn't have Mumin. We know she didn't have any blemishes. So, okay, she has blemishes right now. We'll say it happened right now. How do you know it happened any time before? I'm not going to start replaying everything that happened in my brain to figure out that, oh yeah, really my whole life I've been living a lie, and she had blemishes ever since she was 2 years old. No, it's a lie. She had blemishes right now. Prove to me that it didn't happen this last possible second. Obviously it has to be possible, meaning if it couldn't have happened in the last possible second, it couldn't have happened. But I'm assuming it's the kind of thing that could have happened right now. So we assume it happened right now.
But it just as likely could have been before.
That's the chiddush of, I'm agreeing 100%. That's the chiddush of Chazakah. Right, that we assume that again, not because in actuality there's any reason to assume one over the other. In actuality, there's absolutely no reason to assume one over the other. And if you'd ask a statistician, he would have no idea. 50-50 suffix. But the halacha tells you that God doesn't tell you to restructure everything that ever happened in your life because something happened right now. Okay, so it happened right now. Move on. The chazaka is telling you, you assume the status quo until proven otherwise. So now you're proven otherwise? Okay, so right now, live differently. But before, mehechet hesi. That's proof of the chiddush of chazaka. So, Tosus explains that chiddush, as cheses a guf, is better than shar chazakos, he says. That, again, it's also discussed at length what Tosus means, but I'm going to go with a certain approach, which I think is the correct pshat in Tosus there, that when many achron say like this, that the cheses a guf, something which is more intrinsic to the person's definition, I guess you can put it, you can say physical, you can say it in a number of ways, like Rabbi Chanan Wasserman says in a physical manner, you can say it in a few ways, but either way, it's more definitional to the person, that chazaka is stronger. Chazaz Panuya, that's really just that the Truma Sedeshin says, is really a question of, okay, whose reshus are you in? It's like if you have a, you know, I don't want to compare a woman to money, I'm just saying, structurally, right? If you can, I can, you know, give you a dollar, you can give me a dollar, now the dollar is yours, the dollar is mine, it just goes back and forth, right? Again, I'm not comparing literally, I'm just saying structurally, it's the same thing. The woman, okay, before she was in the rishus of her father, meaning she wasn't married, now she is married, okay, now you give her back. I'm not obviously saying that on a literal sense, but in some sense, she's just, it's not intrinsically anything changed about her, just she kilu belonged to the father, you know, quote unquote. Now she, quote unquote, belongs to her husband, quote unquote. So that doesn't change her, it just changes where she is. Whereas the blemishes, those change her. She's a woman with blemishes, like a totally different, she's like not the same girl. You look at her, she's one picture, another picture, the two different pictures. So therefore, the chesed haguf is stronger than the chesed hadin. I'll call it chesed hadin just for, I don't know, to be easy. Because the din, meaning it's a halacha. I mean, where you are, penuya, you were not married, now you are married, that's a halacha, a halachic status, versus a chesed haguf, intrinsically defining a person. So we say that it's harder to change intrinsic difference in a person than it is to change a halacha. Why? Because again, chazaka is again how you view something according, meaning a motzi mechavei v'rai. Prove to me I should not view this the way I've always proved it. I've always seen it this way. So prove to me I should change. So things, they go from, you know, something which is intrinsic to a person, that's much stronger, harder to change. You've always seen it this way, prove to me I should see it differently. Something which goes from reshus to reshus. So that, okay, so wherever it happens to be landing at the time. It's obviously, if there's nothing, no chazaka against it, we would say that nothing changed. But if you have to choose between the two chazakos, you'd rather stick with the chazaka guf than with the chazaka hadin. Because the chazaka haguf is more intrinsic, it's more that we've always viewed this thing this way. If you start taking apart every chazaka haguf, you're taking apart my entire world. Take apart chazaka hadin, it's not the biggest deal. Again, we wouldn't do it some, but if we have to pick one, we'll ruin the Chesed Sagdin and not the Chesed Sagdin. Okay, that's one way to explain the Gemara. There are many, many ways to explain the Gemara. I need a certain yisod. That same, I can explain the idea in many ways, but that basic idea is, I want to take the svar. So the Kilis Yaakov explains, actually, before the Kilis Yaakov, I'll say one more idea. Everything I said is, it's more or less what Rabbi Chanan Wasserman says in Kobe Shi'urim on the Gemara and Ksubis. There's the Shar Yosher, the Rav Shimon Shkup. He is an amazing sefer, the Shar Yosher, and unbelievable. Anyone who ever wants like to spend a lot of time having a lot of time, good fun, so read his book. So the Shar Yosher, he explains, he has like an entire 20-some chapters on... They're not so long, but there are 20-some chapters on Dinei Chazaka. He's another 20-some chapters on Dinei Rov. He goes through all like the hardest sugyas and shas and tries to really explain like so that we can understand them what's going on. Like he's very into svar. He tries to really explain to you like how things are working. Oh. So in Dinei Chazaka, it's Perek Beis. It's a Shar Beis. He has seven Sharim. Shar Beis Perek Aleph. The very beginning of Shar Chazaka, explaining Chazaka, he explains the Yisod. He says, I think, very similar to what we were saying. And he adds one point. he says that in general, when we want to go chazaka, we have a number of chazakas to right? Many times chazakas, like in that case in Ksubis, chazakas often clash. Like something changed, we want to know what changed, right? So we got to pick. We can't, you know, we want the least amount possible to change, right? Keep as many status quo as possible, but sometimes something's got to give. So what's the thing that gives? How do you know, how do you figure out what you say changed, what didn't change? So he says, you always go according to the Shoresh HaSafik, or the Makor HaSafik, the source of the question, meaning, let's say I'll take the Gemara in Ksubis. This is how he explains the Gemara in Ksubis. Again, I think both Pirushim, the one we said before, and the one we're saying right now, are both correct, according to different Rishonim, so both Svaras are right. He explains the Gemara in Ksubis the following. He says that, okay, so now we want to know, this woman was Mekabel's Kedushin, she got married. We want to know if the marriage worked or not. So the question is, did she have mumin before or after? We know she got these blemishes, she knows she got these moles. We want to know when it happened. If she happened before, she's not married. If it happened after, she is married. So what's the question here? If you want to figure out, I ask, okay, now tell me, is she married or not? So you go, okay, I don't know, let me think. I know she had Kedushin. I know that since she had Kedushin, she's married. Unless she had moles. Okay, so in a second, I know she has moles. Oh, so when did she get the moles? That's the question. Meaning, you try to figure out what's the question. You go down to the Makor HaSafik, meaning the source of the question here, the source of the issue. Meaning, try to figure out what is, bottom line, what are we asking? So over there, bottom line, we're asking, when did she get the moles? Right, it's very logical. And every question in life, you have a bunch of questions. So you just try to figure out in your head what's going on. You get to the bottom line. Okay, this is the following question. This is when whatever the answer over here. Obviously, something will be more complicated. But whatever the answer to the following question is, that's everything else will fall into place. So that's the question that we're really asking. So he says that's. Since that's the question we're asking, we go according to the chazaka of that question, which is logical. It makes sense. Why? Because, again, since all of chazaka is the way you view something, right? So, when you want to know what happened, what does a person do? You just got mixed up with like 10 different variables, and you're just like, you keep this going in your head, like, you know, you start, you know, juggling a million balls in your head, and you're not sure what's going on. So what does any normal, sane individual do? Which is what the Torah tells you to do, says the Shah Yosher. You sit down, you figure out all the variables, and you try to figure out what variable actually matters, and that's how you're viewing the situation. So now you say, oh, that's the variable that matters. See, that changed. Oh, it changed? Okay, it changed right now. Basically, he said, you go according to the Makor HaSafik, you go according to the final question, the most essential question, you ask that question, you go according to that suffix. So over there, since the question is, when did she get the moles? Now or before? So we'll say, she got it now. I should say she got it before. She got it now. I'm not going to change my whole worldview. That tells me that I have to change, now she's married. Before she wasn't married, now she is married. Okay, she took Kedushin. I mean, it wasn't like I'm just out of nowhere saying that she's married. She took a Kedushin, and Mistama, she was fine. Basically, if everything continued the way it should have been forever, nothing ever in life would have changed, this woman would be married without moles, right? Okay, so now she's married with moles. Meaning, we're going to change the least amount possible. Everything else in life was totally fine. We're not changing anything that ever happened. We know she was born. They got a nice naming of you know, they named her very nicely. She went through graduate school, and now she got married, and now she has moles. Okay, everything is fine. There's a normal life story. The end, right? So we go according to the Makor HaSafik. Okay, so now those two svaras, again, the Cheskas HaGuf is stronger than Cheskas HaDin, the way that, let's say, the Ruchana Wasim puts it. And another svara, that the Makor HaSafik is a Kilu, we always want to go as much as possible according to the Makor HaSafik, to the most essential question, to the bottom line question that we're asking, because we can assume everything's fine until that point, meaning everything is fine until proven otherwise. And the way to prove that, the way to keep everything is normal until the last possible moment is according to the most essential question. I hope I'm not losing everyone. I think basically I'm making sense. Hopefully.
Why don't we, I'm curious, why don't we say, like, from a... Let's say, originally saying that she got the most after the marriage, right? But whether it's from, let's say the woman married a coin and then it came out later there were some issues, let's say she had a relationship with a guy or something, like, you can't say in that case, like the most, like, since she got married, we wouldn't say something like, oh, the woman,
well,
marriage is still kosher because the marriage happened along the... Right, so continuum, so they're gonna automatically make it a valid.
I don't want to get into every issue. Of course, everything has to. These are all sugyas. Like the subas is full with this.
Yeah.
But just even on that question, so let's say there a woman was married, and then we find out, oh no, you know, there's a questionable relationship she had with someone. We're not sure what happened. So, I don't know, top of my head, I'm pretty sure what I'm saying is right. I hope it is. If it's not, then obviously I'm wrong. But I'm pretty sure we'll say, no, she was born a good Jew, and she'll die a good Jew. Meaning, in such a case, mehechatei, she's not a good Jew. I mean, in that case, is even a way, a simple case in a way. Meaning, because, okay, there was this possible relationship that she might have had. You know, she once had yichud with a man. Okay, not good, wouldn't recommend it, but nothing ever happened. Now, if you prove to me something happened, then everything falls. But not because of chazakah. Then just, if you prove to me, let's say you bring Adam and you say that, you know, she did something wrong with a man before she was married, then that's not a chazakah question. That's just Adam. That's just two witnesses come and tell me that things are, that my whole world really should. Meaning, if, of course, I'm not saying that everything, the Torah doesn't say that everything stays the way it is unless proven otherwise. But if it's proven otherwise, meaning you bring witnesses and you prove otherwise, then it's otherwise. Right? But again, these are I'm giving, obviously I can't go through all the shots in one hand, but I think the yisodos I'm saying I think will basically work out in every, I hope, in most of the cases. Okay. So with that being said, so the Kilas Yaakov and a number of Achronim want to say in this Gemara, back to Gemara Chul and Daftes, they want to say the pshat over here is Cheskos HaGuf, meaning what? We know the animal was always, you know, alive and well. It had whole nice simanim, right? Its neck was strong as a rock, right? It never was cut. Mehechatesi that it was cut. Now you cut it? Okay, you cut as much as you think you could, but you didn't cut the whole way. It was whole. Okay, so now it's still basically whole. Did you prove to me that it's not whole anymore? Is it cut rove? Did you check? No, you didn't check. So okay, it's, you know, cut a little bit. How do you know it's cut rove? How do you know majority is cut? They say basically over here it's a cheskas a guf. And that beats out the cheskas adin. What's the cheskas adin? There was a cheskas. Well, not cheskas adin. There's no cheskas against it. Just there's a cheskas aguf. The cheskas aguf over here tells you that the behema was whole. Its neck was as hard as a rock. It was whole. You cut it. How do you know you cut rove? You cut less than rove.
Yeah, but this cheskas aguf has changed.
It changed.
You did a cutting.
Over there, you... Right. Yeah, but
over
how do you
there,
know,
in the case of the woman, idea when the woman took place.
So the thing is, we say all the time, we say Ches Zaguf, let's say a woman, blood comes out of a woman, right? Yeah. And we're not sure if it's
Damnida
or Damaka, okay. Right? We have a reason to be Mesupa. But, you know, Minastam, we'll say it's Damnida because that's there's a rule that it's Damnida. But let's say for some reason that rule doesn't exist. She has a maka, whatever. Yeah. So she has a wound, and she has Damnida. So a woman sees her period every now and then. Yeah. And she also, if she has a wound, she has a wound, right? Yeah. So we're not sure which one it is. Yeah. So we'll say it's the wound, not the Damnida. Because we'll say that, prove to me that the Nidus blood came out. Because there's no nafka. I'll explain this in a minute.
Just as easily say prove to me it's not.
Right. So I'll explain. Good question. I'm asking. So that's the issue I'm about to explain, but I guess I'll explain it now. That the chet, well, over there it's actually even more simple. So I don't, over there I can explain without the issue, but I'll say it anyway. Over there you could explain without any fiddish. Over there the chet is tara also. So as much as there's a cheskas a guf that nothing can happen to her, so those are equal. So basically, the cheskas a gufs kind of cancel out, and we're left with the cheskas tara. So she continues to be fine because if she did see dam maka, if she saw a wound, it doesn't make a difference. She's still tahor, right? So there's the two cheskas a gufs kind of cancel out. We don't know which one happened. The cheskas tara wins out. Over here, that you're asking a better question. Because over here, we know something happened, and the thing that happened
changed the goof. Right.
So how do you, right? So maybe there's no cheskas a goof.
Right.
It's a good point. So I'm going to disagree with them anyway. So I could, if I thought about it, I would try to figure out why. I think their raya is what they're saying, but I'm asking to your point. Mm-hmm. But that's what they say. They say that that there's a cheskas a goof. Prove to me that it's been. That it's been totally destroyed. Now, I think the problem with that, which the Achi Ezra points out, Chaim Ozer, points out, I think he kind of points this out. No, he doesn't exactly point it out, but I don't know if he doesn't, I am. That it's against the Gemara, kind of. It doesn't really fit so well. Oh, actually, I actually saw someone who points out first. There's a sefer called Shechitas Chulin. It's by a very big chacham in Israel named Itamar Garbuz. He's a Rosh Kolal in Bnei Brak, in a Taros Kolal over there. Anyway, so he points this out. He says that that's against the Gemara, meaning the Gemara seems to say that only because there's a Chesus Isser. Right? It doesn't say because of the Chesus Aguf. It says because of the Chesus Isser. It says that since the Behema and Tosfis and not Tosfis, and Rashi and the Rajba say explicitly that they express because of Eiver Menachai or because of Isser Eino Shachot, there's an Isser, and they explain what the Isser is. They go at length to explain what the Isser is when it's alive. Since there's an Isser when it's alive, that's why we continue that the Isser even when it's dead. But they don't say because of Chesed Aguf. They could have said that. They're not to say Eiver Menachai Rashi over here, whatever. Diver Maschil Behema B'chai B'chez Isser Omeres Sharei Asur Mishum Eiver Menachai. He doesn't have to say that. Who cares? If there's a cheskas aguf, forget cheskas iser, right? So clearly they're not working with cheskas aguf. But then the question still is, well, then the question is, why? Okay, so you have one good answer. I have to think about why. I feel like if I would be able to think a little better right now, I would probably be able to. But it's a good point. You're making a good point. But I think the Gemara in Ksubis, later in the Gemara in Ksubis, when it brings a raya from Nega, from another place, I think your type of Chesed Aguf, I think, is proven that it's considered Chesed Aguf, I think, but I can think about that later. Right? Mm-hmm. Anyway, so the question still is, now the question is, why is there no Chesed Aguf? And I want to ask another question. What happens if there would have been no Isser of Eiver Menachai? Or no Isser Eino Shachet. Let's say God allowed you to eat the animal when it was live, as long as it didn't die and become an Avela. What would be the din? Now, it sounds ridiculous, but there's such a shita, right? Meir holds that by an oaf, right? By an oaf, there's no Isser Eino Menachai. So according to Meir, we don't pass in this, but according to Meir, right? And you could hurt hypothetically, even if not very Meir, but
the rice is like a fish.
What? Right. Hypothetically, if it was like a, exactly. So let's say there were no cheskas isser. Let's say you were allowed to eat an animal that's alive just when it dies. Without a shechita, you can't eat it. So there's an isser nevela, but there's no isser if menachai or in a shachar. So then what would be the din? It sounds from Pashas and the Gemara that it would be mutter. Mm-hmm. Right? Because it was isser omedes, but it's now because heter omedes. So that question is the mechokas between Rekiva Eger and Achi Ezer. Rekiva Eger actually says it's Aser, and Achi Ezer says it's Mutter. And they both have Diukim from Rajba, and they're really opposite Diukim, and they're both right, and Tzarchim the Rajba. Meaning, we don't have enough time to get into every point in this Rajba, but I'm going to try to explain this right now. I was going to hope to read it inside. But if you look in the Achi Ezer and the Rekiva Eger, whatever, trust me, they both have very good Diukim, and they're both right in their Diukim, basically, and they're opposite Diukim. Meaning, Achi Ezer says it's Mutter, Rekiva Eger says it's Aser, and Tzarechim, meaning because that can't be right. Now, I think the best diuk is in the Gemara, right? The Gemara says Ches Isteromedes. Mashma, that if it was Ches Heteromedes, it would be Mutter. I think that's just the best diuk, and I think the Rishonim already worked with that. The Rishonim say, because Eiver Menachai, the Rajba says, because Eino Shachot, it's clear that it's only because of Ches Isteromedes. But, again, so what am I trying to say? Let's just back up for a second. What am I trying to say? Let's say there were no chesed iser, the chesed heter. So the behema b'chaya, hypothetically, b'cheskes heter omedes, let's say. And now you shecht it, you don't know if you shecht it the whole way. Is it mutter or aser? So the chulra, I should say there are two competing chazakos. There's a chazaka of heter, But there's also a chazaka that mehecha tasi was shachet. I hear you shachted it. So mehecha shachted it the whole way. Meaning, now I apply it again to what you're saying. There's the Gemara in Ksubis says that when you have a... Yeah, this would go answer it. When you have a nega, you have a nega. The Gemara, whatever. Let's say you're tame already from a certain nega, and you now some tsaras comes. So you're not sure which comes first, a seyar lavan or a boheres. So the Gemara says that the Rishonim say you can apply cheskas aguf. Oh, it's complicated. I don't get into it. Anyway, question is why don't you say cheskas aguf? Meaning, why is the Kilos Yaakov not correct? So basically, this is what I want to say. I wish I could explain every point deeper, but because of time, I'm trying to say this. So I can't prove it in the Rajba as well as I wish I could. If you look in the Rajba on that test over here, and you look in his words in Yevamis, and the Lamedim of Beis, they're eye-opening. But because of the strain of time, I'm not going to read it inside. What he says, it seems that Cheskas HaGuf Bifnei Atzmo, meaning Cheskas HaGuf alone, is worthless. Meaning that the Torah doesn't tell you, Reb Chaim is quoted saying this, and many, this is, I think, a Yisod. That cheskas haguf, there's no reason to view. We don't care about an animal unless it has some kind of ramifications for us, right? Stam, an animal grazing in the. If right, an animal is grazing in Africa and if no one ever looks at it, no one ever sees it, it doesn't really exist, right? If we don't care. If it has nothing to do with it, we don't really. You know, we wish it well, but we have nothing. We have no real. Nothing to do with it, so we don't really think about it. Now, when do we start thinking about it? When it matters, right? When we have a question, right? We want to know, can we eat it? We want to know, whatever we want to know. We have a question, we want to know something about it. Now, if you would ask me in Metzias, we're still just schmoozing at a Shabbos table. Oh, what happened to the animal in Africa that was grazing? Well, I don't know. I have no idea, right? It doesn't, I don't know. But if you ask me, oh, there's a guy in Africa who actually shechted an animal, I want to know, can I eat it or not? Oh, now I care. Now I have to do something with it, right? So, as for Soloveitchik, we're a lachik men, right? We think we care that when there's something that's nafkmi, we'll care. When there's nafkmi, we don't care. So, now that we don't, you know. So now, so when there's a nafkamina, then the cheskas of good matters. Now, if there is, when there's a cheskas iser to a behema, when there's a cheskas iser, and now the question is, did you shecht it? So prove to me that you shechted it. That would be a cheskas aguf. At that point, since there's a cheskas iser, now the cheskas aguf applies. Because the cheskas aguf tells you that this thing was usser, it was usser, and it has to be shechted in order to become mutter. Or the only way to matter an animal is ide shechting it. So it wasn't shechted. Prove to me you shechted it. Now that it matters, since there's an iser, Eder Menachayim, there's an iser, Eno Shachlet, now it matters that its neck is as hard as a rock and that you didn't shecht it. Now prove to me you shechted it. If it were the opposite, however, if there was a cheskas heter on a behema, if the behema cheskas heter omedes according to Meir by an oath, right? If there were no iser Eder Menachai, so then the behema is mutter. So now you don't tell me, well, prove to me you shechted it. And prove to you shechted it. Prove to me it's a nevela. Not to prove to you I shechted it, it's mutter. Now I shechted it. I can assume it's fine. Prove to me it's not. Right? What are you going to tell me? Well, I always saw its neck was always hard as a rock. It always was a full neck. Okay, but it also was never a nevela. To prove to me it's a nevela. You don't stop come up with like a cheskas Haguf saying, oh, I always was. I don't care what it always was. The Torah says it was mutter, right? Only way it can become usher is ayadeh, that it becomes a nevela. Prove to me that it's a nevela. So I shechted it. I'm assuming I shechted it fine. Meaning, basically, I'm just saying that you basically always go according to the cheses hadin. When Tosus says, and the Gemara says, and Ksubas, you go according to the cheses haguf, that's when the cheskas haguf is made from from a halacha. When there's a nafkmin to that chesed zaguf. Over there, the nafkmin, a chesed zaguf, because I want to know, you married a woman al tanai that she doesn't have any blemishes. So now I care. Oh, she never had blemishes. Does she have blemishes now? Now it matters. But over here, the Torah is telling you, what do you want to tell me? The Torah is telling you it's mutter to eat this animal when it's alive. And its only time it's ever going to be usser is if it's an avela. You want to tell me, well, it was always whole. Mechatesi is not whole anymore. That it's not whole anymore. You can say that, but mechatesi that the Torah is telling you not to look at it that way. The Torah is telling you that it was whole and therefore it was mutter. Mechatesi that it's an avela. That's a chesed zaguf as well. That's telling you about the animal. How do you know this thing is a nevela? A nevela is a certain kind of object. Tell me this is a nevela. So since it's a cheskes iser, therefore we say, prove to me that it's not shechted. If b'chaya b'ches heteromedes, you would say, prove to me that it's a nevela. Now, once you say that, now the Chanar Gemara, I think, is the following. Meaning we asked in the Manda Amar, we asked, what's Pshat in the Manda Amar who says that the Behema is Tameh? Does that make sense? The Behema was Tahor. It should stay Tahor. It was Asa, it should stay Asa. What's Pshat? Why would you say that it's Tameh? So I think the end is like this. What's the chazaka? You always have to see of what the Torah was telling you until now, right? We're always saying, the Torah is saying it was a certain way, prove to me it's not that way anymore. So what did I say? It was tahor, it should stay tahor. Now, why was it tahor? It was tahor because mehechtesi it wasn't. It wasn't telling you that it was tahor and therefore it's shechted. That doesn't make sense. It was tahor, mehechtesi it's not tahor, right? The other chazaka, however, is telling you it wasn't shechted, it was usser. Why? Because it wasn't shechted, right? So basically, the cheskas iser is telling you a cheskas aguf, right? Because it's telling you it was usser. Why? Because it wasn't shechted. Now, prove to me that you shechted it, right? So now I shechted it. Now prove to me you shechted it properly. So one chazak is telling me it was never shechted properly until now. Prove to me you shechted it properly now. It was saying basically this animal was never shechted properly. You cannot matter me until you shecht me properly. Well, right now I don't know I shechted you properly. So this animal stays, in terms of its iser, it stays as not shechted properly. What's an animal that's not shechted properly? It's usser and it's a nevela. So in terms of its iser, it's a nevela. Because we always saw it as not shechted properly. We still see it as not shechted properly. In terms of its tahara, however, we always saw it as tahor. Now, we never said that. What do you want to say now? It's still tahor. Well, if it's still tahor, what is it? You shechted it properly? The chazak is not straight. There's no chazak on it. It was always shechted properly. Now it's also shechted properly. It doesn't make any sense. It's not. That wasn't the chazak. Because it was alive. Therefore, it was tahor. Now it's dead. And unless you prove it to me that it's not tahor, I'm going to continue to say it's tahor. But the chazaka didn't say straight, like directly, that it is shechted. It's just because we have to assume it's tahor that we're going to say it's shechted. So basically, you have two chazakos, which are competing. One's telling you straight on, it's saying directly, it was never shechted. Prove to me it's shechted. So you see this animal right off the bat as not shechted, right? The other chazaka is telling you it's tahor. How can it be tahor if it's not shechted? So basically, since you have two competing chazakos, but one chazaka is telling you straight on a metzias, it's not shechted. The other chazaka is telling you it's tahor. This chazaka tells you to go fly a kite. I'm telling you it's not shechted. You can't tell me it's tahor. If it's not shechted, it's dead.
Have two competing. How do you know which chazaka to pick?
Because one's direct and one's not direct. One's directly.
Which one is direct?
Directly, the one that was. Oh, there was a certain chazaka telling you this animal was never shechted.
That's the direct.
That's the direct. That's the chazaka.
And the tahor.
Right. The chazaka tahor was never.
Why is that not direct?
That refers to
why are you calling that not direct?
Because that it never said this animal was never shechted. That wasn't the reason it was tahor. It was tahor because it was alive. It's not alive anymore. It's dead.
So you're calling that another one.
Right.
So, independent versus dependent.
Exactly. Now the other Manda Amar holds that, no, exactly like you, that okay, the two competing chazakos, just because this chazaka tells you that, you can't say just one, that's good for the machokas. Whether or not you say, look, this chazaka is direct, we're telling you this mitzvah. If there's this